have a rich relationship with God. Have a rich relationship with God. We are here in His presence on the last day of 2017. Many people are perhaps reflecting on the past year, thinking about successes, failures, challenges, etc. they experience. Some are thinking about ways of increasing their income without any consideration of God. And you know, that's a big thing. People want to, they love when you wish them a prosperous new year. And usually when they talk about a prosperous new year, money is the number one thing. You know, to be prosperous, having a lot of money. And for some people, there is no consideration of God. God is not a part of that equation. You know, they're thinking of ways and thinking of people that can help them to become rich and prosperous. But others would like to know what will happen to them in the future. And you find that at this time of year, you have some people who emerge as prophets, and they are prophesying, you know, what is going to happen in the new year. In this case, it's 2018. You have a lot of prophets emerging, and perhaps on tomorrow morning in the Gleaner, you're gonna see a list of prophets and all the things that they are prophesying. And you know, people generally they would like to know what is going to happen to them, what the future has for them in the new year. And some, they don't just listen, but some go and seek prophecies. They go and seek. They are so desperate that they are willing to consult diviners, astrologers, fortune tellers, and mediums. And that includes church people. Church people, they are going to these people and asking for a read-up. Tell me about my future. I want to know my future. Well, this morning, I'm gonna look at both aspects. You know, the first part of my sermon will be entitled "The Lure of Wealth," and the second part will be entitled "Wanting to Know the Future." Praise God. So, let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the kingdom of God. We thank you that Jesus is the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. That He is King of your kingdom, and that He rules and He reigns. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful privilege that every believer has to live and to abide and to walk in your kingdom. So Lord, we just pray that as we look into your word, that your kingdom will come and your perfect will be done. Hallelujah. As your word is shared, O God, glorify your name, O God. Glorify your name. Cause the name of Jesus Christ to be exalted and to magnified and to be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Today we're going to take a look at what God's word have to say about the lure of wealth and consulting the occult to know the future. First of all, we're going to look at Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 to 21. And it's actually entitled in my Bible, The Parable of the Rich Fool. Amen? It says, then someone called from the crowd, and this is Jesus' words, teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Jesus replied, friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. That's very interesting. Very informative. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for my crops. Then he said, I know. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I will sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Amen? And this is where the title comes from. Having a rich relationship with God. And I want to say to you up front, what is your relationship with God like? Do you have a relationship with God? And if so, what type of a relationship is it? Is it a rich relationship? Is it a relationship that you believe that God is satisfied with? Or is it a relationship that you yourself is satisfied with? In analyzing this text, I wish to note the following. One, it says, this man said, teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Now, just looking at that, that seems very reasonable. Seems very reasonable. But according to the law, it's not reasonable. This guy was being unreasonable. On the surface, this request seems to be reasonable. However, in Israel, the oldest son enjoyed a double share of the inheritance. So when this guy said, Lord, please tell my brother to share our father's estate with me, what he wanted to do was to rob his brother of a double share. He wanted equal share. And that's why Jesus said, describe the person making the request as being greedy, because they wanted more than the law stipulates. And that's very important. Greed will cause us to desire what does not belong to us. Greed will cause us to be covetous. Want more than we deserve or we are entitled to. And, you know, we have to be careful of greed. Every one of us are tempted to be greedy. Every one of us are tempted to desire to take or to have more than what we are entitled to. And then, the second thing I want us to look at is, Jesus said, life is not measured by how much you own. Think about that. The world says, you are somebody if you are rich. You are somebody if you drive a BMW or you drive a 2017 car or you own a house. The world says you are somebody. Conversely, the world says if you are poor, you are nobody. That's the world system. But Jesus says, and I love this, Jesus says, life is not measured by how much you own. And you see, in a sense, it is locked into greed. Because some people, they are greedy because they believe that the more they have, the more they will be somebody. And it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Praise God. You know my van. The van, the Noah. And it's 2001. Now people come to me and say, Pastor, boy, you need a new car, you know. It's time you upgrade. And, you know, yesterday I looked at it. I stood up and I looked at it. And I saw that the windscreen wipers were rusting. They were originally black. And now they are rust colored. And, you know, all kind of different things. It's obviously it's aging. And I look at the van. But guess what? The van is in good driving condition. I mean, I can go to Montego Bay with it. I can go to St. Elizabeth with it. It's in a good driving condition. And I say to myself, do I really need a new vehicle? Do I need to upgrade? And if I do, what is the reason? Is it because I will look as a more prosperous person and a more, you know, rooted person? I know something. I still don't know what I'm going to do, but I know I'm not rushing to do anything. Because guess what? Who I am does not depend on what I drive. Amen? Who I am does not depend on what I own. Who I am depends on my relationship with God. And if I have a relationship that is rich in God, let me tell you, that's the best person to find favor with. Nobody else. You know, someone was sharing with me, my son-in-law, he was sharing with me about someone saw on this program with Sidrock. And he saw this man, he died and he went to heaven. And when he was in heaven, he noticed that you had large houses and you had small houses. No, he actually died, you know. He was declared dead, and he was dead for 3 days. And at his funeral service, his body was at his funeral service, and he was in heaven. His spirit was in heaven. And in heaven, he said to God, he said, God, what are these houses? Why are some houses large and some houses small? And when he looked, he saw some big church leaders, big name church leaders. And they had some little houses, like a little one bedroom thing. And then there was this church sister who her job was to clean the chairs and keep the church tidy. And when you looked, she had one of the biggest houses in heaven. He said, wow. You know, what God was saying is that, hey, life, who you are, is not dependent on your title or what you own, what you have accumulated in this life, but who you are with God is dependent upon your walk with God, upon your relationship with God. Very important. Because as believers, as church people, we often get caught up. We get into the rat race. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong in somebody desiring to own a house or to own a car. But make sure your heart is right. Make sure you understand who you are and who you are in relationship to God. In the world, life is often measured by one's material worth. In the kingdom of God, it is different. The word of God says, store your treasures in heaven. Store your treasures in heaven. I remember when I was a research scientist, I used to travel to Montego Bay and do research projects in the hills of Montego Bay. A lot of those areas that are now bloody. I used to go in those areas and do research. At that time, it was a peaceful area. But there was this man. And you know, when people ask him, how is today? He said, boy, I am sending up blocks. I'm sending up blocks to heaven to build my mansion in heaven. I know in a way that's what happens. You see, when you store your treasures in heaven, it means that you live a life that is committed to God. A life that wants to please God. A life of obedience. A life of obedience. In other words, When God speaks to us and directs us to do something, we are obedient. And when we are obedient, we are storing our treasures in heaven. And part of that obedience is to repent. Repent. You know, some people think that, somebody is hungry. They feed the poor. They feed the hungry. But they have not repented of their sin. And let me tell you, the first and most important act of obedience is that we repent. We repent and we change our lives and we give our lives to Jesus Christ, to follow Jesus in obedience to his word. Amen. You know, some people think that, you know, by doing acts, good works is sufficient to go to heaven. But let me tell you, it's not that way. The Bible says that we are saved by grace and not by works. Works can't save us. You can give somebody $1 billion. It cannot save you. You have to repent and give your life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, we have to store treasures in heaven. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. It says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Some people, they just have money, 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 money on their heart. That's their treasure. But you know what God is looking for? People who have Jesus on their heart. People who put Jesus first. Who put God first. That's what God is looking for. Amen. So some people, they're thinking about husband, husband, husband. So they're thinking about wife, wife, wife. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallelujah. Every time. And all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Amen. So God looks at your heart. He knows the treasure of your heart. He knows the treasure of my heart. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now the Bible says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, he is one Lord. It says, Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That's the treasure that God wants to be in our hearts. For us to love God. Love God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, with all our strength. And then he says, in the third point is, he said, you fool. You fool. You see, this man put his trust in his talents, in his wealth. In all that he has accumulated in life, he put his trust in it and he put God aside. He didn't even acknowledge that it was God who, it was the blessings of God that brought him to where he was. So God said, you fool, you will die this very night. I don't know about you, you know, but more and more I am realizing that life is like vapor. I mean, look at what happened in New York last week. Look at what happened in New York last week. In the twinkling of an eye. Sad. But lives were snuffed out. In the twinkling of an eye. One little accident. And lives were snuffed out. We need to fear God. We need to fear God. We need to fear God. We need to make sure that our lives are right with God from now, because it is possible, just like those people in New York. I hope they were all prepared to meet their God. I don't know. But they didn't have any time. There was no time. There was another accident in the States where they were trying out a train on a track, and for some reason that train driver was driving the train at about 80 miles per hour in a 30 mile zone, and it derailed and fell on some vehicles, and some people were killed in the twinkling of an eye. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Now is the time. Now is the hour. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and as it is appointed for men to die once. But after this, the judgment, we need to remember that God is the one who determines whether we live or die. We need to remember that. God, not us, not our friends, not our families, not our plans for the future, but God is the one who determines when we die. You know, as I reflect on 2017, you know, it has been a rough year. It has been a trying year. It has been a year of sorrow, and there has been joy, but for me it has mostly been trial. This morning I was driving here and I thought about Pastor Reed. And I remember seeing her on the hospital bed that last night. And I remember putting my hand on her chest, and her heart was just weakening and weakening and weakening. And she was in, you know, she was struggling to breathe. And, you know, I don't know what my wife thought, but I just said, "Oh God," as I reflected on it. In January, my wife was diagnosed with 99% blockage in her LAD artery, and she had to have emergency surgery. I had two serious attacks of illnesses during this year, and each one made me reflect on God and said, "God, your kingdom come, your will be done." Amen. And brethren, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But I am just saying to you, prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. Amen. Praise God. Now, the second part of my sermon this morning has to do with it says the fourth thing I want to look at is, but not have a rich relationship with God. God wants us to have a rich relationship with Him. Amen. Now, how do we have a rich relationship with God? The first thing is that Jesus died, shed His blood on the cross, so that our sins could be forgiven, and that we might be reconciled to God. In other words, before Jesus, all humanity was at enmity with God. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. And Jesus was God's answer to sin. God needed someone without sin to die for sinners. And Jesus died on the cross so that we might be reconciled to God through the forgiveness of our sins. So man can now have a relationship with God. Amen. Let me tell you, sin alienated man from God. If you are a sinner and you have not repented, it means you are alienated from God. We don't care how much good you have done, it cannot reconcile you to God. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can reconcile you to God. So, I believe, and I want to recommend, that as you approach 2018, if you want to have a blessed and prosperous new year, the best way to guarantee that is to have a rich relationship with God. Amen? having a rich relationship with God. Now, as far as I'm concerned, you know what is prosperity? You know what is prosperity for me? Prosperity for me is to have health, is to be happy, and to have food to eat, a shelter over my head, clothes to wear. Amen? That's prosperity to me. You say, boy, pastor, if I had to have a couple million dollars, that would be prosperity. Do you know that you have people who have a couple million dollars or billions of dollars and they are sick and they are dying and their money can't help them? Huh? The man who started Apple was one of the richest men in the world, and he died of cancer. Died of cancer. The money could not heal him. Can't worship money. The best thing that you can do is to establish a rich relationship with God. You notice I say rich? Now some people, they say they have a relationship with God, but it's very finky. Coming like breeze. Sometimes it blow, and sometimes it not blow. When you have a rich relationship with God, there is consistency in your relationship with God. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now,